You are listening to episode 66 of the Mad Chatters podcast, December 30th, 2015.
Most everyone's mad here.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. My name is Derek, and joining me for the final time this year are my co-hosts and fellow Mad Chatters, Matthew.
Hey, howdy, hey.
And Jeremy.
Mickey says every time a churro is bought, a cast member earns his ears.
Okay.
Well, we've come to the end of 2015, and what a year it has been. Lots of ups and downs, as has every year before that.
Ever.
As has been true of every year before and after this year. But still, it is true nonetheless. And on this episode, we're going to be talking all about our favorite and least favorite moments from 2015 as we present the second annual Chatties, our awards that really mean nothing except they're a lot of fun for us to do. But before we get to awards, do you guys have any moments that really don't fit any categories that you think are worth looking back on?
Nope. No, I can't think of things that wouldn't dive into my category.
I know.
So I'm trying to keep a tight lip on things.
Well, let's see. This was the first full year, I think, of FastPass Plus. Like back in 2014, they were still doing a lot of changes and rollouts and things like that. So that's kind of where we are now in the world is FastPass Plus. I remember also like lots of, there were many moments where Twitter was united, like when the hat was removed or Molt, Sweat, and Shears left. But there was also a few times when Twitter was divided, like when Rivers of America in Disneyland decided to be shortened by maybe a few feet, and some thought that was the end of the world, and some thought it didn't really make much of a difference.
Yep. Wars have been fought.
Wars have indeed been fought.
Two brothers on their way.
Two tweeters. These things, I don't think, are really up for award, so I want to mention, this week they announced that is the first time ever that Walt Disney Studios surpassed $5 billion in one year at the box office. So that's pretty crazy. That guy climbed the Mexico Pavilion.
Yes, he did.
Let's not forget.
Mm. And the world has since changed with the no, no climbing signs.
Yeah,
I don't think they've ever been there before.
No, they added those.
Like now, oh, we'll have
BC, we got a sign
before climber.
Mm. Yes.
I wonder if we're gonna see those pop up more places now. I don't know. Anyway, well, before we start spoiling our awards, I say we go ahead and kick off this awards season. Jeremy, I'm gonna send it over to you, our host for the evening. Tell us what's going on.
Well, first off, we have a big opening number with Neil Patrick Harris. So a 5, 6, 7, 8.
Celebrate the world. What's the song you always sing?
I was trying to remember. I couldn't think of how it went.
Okay, but let's go ahead and go on to our first award. Presenting the award tonight is one of our favorite cast members, Cheryl.
Hey, wait, she's got some drippage. Let her clean up a little bit.
She's actually in a bit of a hurry.
So. Tonight, we would like to begin with Best Addition to Walt Disney World. And the nominees are...
Well, I don't know about nominees. But for Best Addition, I'm going to have to go with Harambe Market at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Yep.
I didn't really know what they had planned when they mentioned that they were going to be adding, you know, some food locations to this part of Animal Kingdom. But, oh my gosh, it just surpassed everything I could have hoped for or expected. Just the little details all around, more bicycles like they have all over that part of Animal Kingdom already. But the signs, Jeremy mentioned it when he gave his review, like the signs of Mickey Mouse and all the authentic signs of that part of the world. And then the food offerings are like actual unique offerings. Like it's not another cupcake stand or another hot dog place. Like they've got the corn dogs and the milk tarts and all these original offerings and the veggie stack that Jeremy reviewed. And just the look of it, how it seamlessly fits into that part of Animal Kingdom. It's just gorgeous. I think that was the best thing Walt Disney World added this year, I gotta say.
I agree. I agree 100% with that, but I had to go somewhere else. And that is best addition to Walt Disney World in my book is going to be all the additions made to Disney Springs this year.
Mm.
And I have one specific one coming up in a few. Stay tuned for that.
Okay. Oh, gosh, the anticipation. Yeah.
What can it be? No, but the general cleaning up of all of that and kind of seamlessly overhauling what used to be Pleasure Island, so there's not just a big empty gap between the west side and the marketplace. I'll even, you know, throw in the new music that they've put in on both or all the sides. The new walkway from over behind Rainforest Cafe to World of Disney, all the new restaurants, which we'll get to in a bit. I think that they're doing a lot of good stuff there.
Mm.
Yes, I had two answers, and Derek took one of them, so I'll say the other. And my best addition to Walt Disney World for 2015 is the hub expansion in the Magic Kingdom. I just love it. I think it just adds so much space, and it feels so natural. It doesn't feel forced at all. It's well-themed. It's beautiful. It just makes it feel like a place you want to be instead of a place you want to get out of as quick as possible, which is kind of the way it would be most of the time when it was crowded. So shout out to the hub expansion. You make my dreams come true.
Yeah. No, that's really good. I mean, it really doesn't feel like that big of a change. And then when you see it, like it's a completely different park.
Yeah, crazy. And it has that nice AstroTurf, which makes you feel like if you were a dog, you could take a crap on it, and it would be perfectly fine. So,
that's how I judge the quality of things at Walt Disney World. Could I take a crap on this?
Could I take a crap on here?
Oh, great. So, thank you all to the nominees. You're all beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right, our next category for the evening is Worst Addition to Walt Disney World. Not everything was peaches and cream in 2015. We had a lot of junk be thrown at us as well, so...
Thrown at us.
Sorry, the monitor wasn't scrolling as fast as I was reading.
Oh.
So, it's
I think Steve Harvey ran into that problem not too long ago as well.
Philippians!
Philippines! He said Philippians.
No, in his tweet, he spelled it Philippians.
Oh, no.
After the fact, in his apology, he apologized.
Oh, no.
He spelled Columbia and Philippines wrong.
Bless his heart.
I would like to add Steve Harvey to the Ellen's Energy Adventure. Steve's Energy Adventure. That would be fun.
There you go.
That was so random.
Yeah, it was. Okay, worst addition to Walt Disney World. Matt, what was your worst addition?
My worst audition was for the parade dancer number 2.
No. Oh, this episode's a mess already.
No, I'm going to say, and I haven't even been here or seen it. It's just knowing what it is tells me everything I need to know about it. Kind of like church hangs Christmas lights on the outside. Club Disney at Disney's Hollywood Studios is what I'm going to vote as the worst addition. Of all the upgrades and updates going on at Disney's Hollywood Studios, to plug a quote-unquote Disney dance club, whatever the heck it is, down between Rock and Roller Coaster and the Tower of Terror at the end of Sunset Boulevard, a highly detailed, highly themed area, which no doubt plays every last remix of every Disney song ever made.
Well, yeah.
For children and their grown mothers to dance to while dad takes pictures. Just sounds like a hellhole to the nth degree. So, no thank you, Club Disney.
That's a good one. I mean, a bad one.
It's a bad good one.
Yeah.
My worst edition kind of piggybacks off that, although I am kind of coming around to some of the dance parties, because if I get to dance with rare characters, I'm totally into it. But this, I have no justification, and that is the behind-the-scenes We Love Disney thing they did at Hollywood Studios, where it wasn't even a dance party. You just go and watch a film about the recording of the CD. Like, how, it's almost like they sat down and was like, how can we make a dance party worse? Ah, take away the dancing. That would be good. And then just make people watch Ariana Grande in a studio singing Someday My Prince Will Come or whatever she sings.
Oh, I thought you were going to mimic her again. I laughed so hard when you did that. Sometime.
Yeah. My
I love then, Disney.
But honestly, out of all the people who are on that CD, Ariana Grande is probably the most palatable, because they also have Neo and Rascal Flatts.
I actually like Neo.
Fallout Boy? I mean, come on. But anyways, why anybody would ever go into this attraction, except you were too stupid to know what it actually was.
We love Disney. More like, we love money.
Oh, burn.
Sing, take that, yeah. Bob Iger.
Okay, for worst addition to Walt Disney World, I said it was the metal detectors, which are now at every park. There are a few stipulations with this answer. First of all, I don't blame Disney for doing it. In fact, Universal did it, SeaWorld did it, like all the parks in Orlando rolled these out on the same day. I get why they did it. You want to feel safe in the park. I think what I hate most is that our world has come to a place where this has become necessary. Like, I mean, think of how the Disney parks were 10 years ago. You know, it was like you walk up, show them your bag real quick, and it was just like a magical place. And now it's like all these things you have to go through. The other stipulation is that I actually talked to a friend today who was at Disney World, and she said they're not obtrusive at all. She said very few people are actually asked to go through them. It's like a random screening thing. And she
profiling.
Said, she didn't say that. She did say that she saw more uproar on Facebook than she even noticed them in person at the park. So that's a good thing.
Consequently, they canceled the meet and greet for Aladdin and Jasmine.
Oh, my word. Anyway,
racist.
I just hate that we're there now, because who knows in 10 years where we'll be. You know, like I can only guess that this is the start of more security measures like that, that just kind of take away from the magic.
Yeah, it kind of is a mood killer if they have to frisk you before you go into the Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know,
welcome to the magic.
You might meet the love of your life. You never know.
Yep. Now that could happen.
I don't know. I've been through the TSA security at the airport. I know it's not going to happen.
Okay, here to present our next award is the star of Modern Family, ladies and gentlemen, Sofia Vergara.
What?
Thank you so much for being here tonight. Throughout the year of 2015, there have been many surprises at Walt Disney World. And tonight, we are going to present the award for the biggest surprises at Walt Disney World in 2015. And the nominees are...
Okay, biggest surprise for me... Man, there were lots of good choices. Jeremy, you go first. We should switch it up, because I can't always steal your answer.
Okay, yes. My best surprise came just a couple weeks ago. And that was the Three Caballeros being added to the Grand Fiesta Tour in Epcot. Again, total surprise. Nobody saw it coming. It just was there. We gushed about it a couple podcasts ago. It was wonderful. It was amazing. And so thank you, Imagineers.
They are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Saw them last Monday in person. I took some video I should send. But they're larger than I thought. And they are a lot more modern looking than I expected.
Well, if the Imagineers continue with those kind of surprises throughout the new year, I'll be totally happy, because to wake up to beautiful animatronics is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. For my biggest surprise, I said something that we talked a bit about last week, and that is the Skipper Canteen. I remember when they first announced it because they had filed a permit for a restaurant in Adventureland.
Yeah.
And it was like, why are they bringing back the Adventureland veranda? Which they didn't. It's this restaurant. But like, besides Be Our Guest, we really haven't had a new table service restaurant in a really, really long time at Magic Kingdom. And so once Be Our Guest came, it was kind of like, okay, now we're set for a decade. But the fact that they, I don't know, the fact that they brought this in to Adventureland and themed it to an attraction that is not necessarily on people's like top 10 list when it comes to attractions at Disney World, you know, was such a pleasant surprise. And I personally can't wait to try it out. So Skipper Canteen.
I think that what's happening there is I think that the Disney World fan community is becoming a lot more organized, like with D23, because obviously they're getting to know what true diehard Disney World fans enjoy and like. And I think that they're giving in to a lot of that to please them. Little small things like the animatronics there at Grand Fiesta Tour and, you know, a restaurant like this that's clearly, you know, for Disney World fans that enjoy Jungle Cruise, Adventureland, Adventurers Club, and things like that.
Yeah, I think Hocus Pocus also falls in that category. Like, who would have thought that a movie 20 years old would all of a sudden be brought back? But it's exactly what the fans wanted. They just didn't know it, you know?
Well, I think the Imagineers are doing a good job of finding those things that please the fanboys but are still pleasing to your average guest who has no idea. Because the average guest can still enjoy Skipper Canteen and not know anything about the Jungle Cruise.
That's true.
They can still enjoy the audio animatronics in Epcot without knowing anything about their history. So they're doing really good as far as like straddling that line.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And in keeping with that, my answer goes hand in hand with it, with an answer like that for the biggest surprise. And that was the arrival of the Jock Lindsey's Hangar Bar at Disney Springs, which for the longest time was under construction there beside the Boathouse restaurant in the landing area of the new Disney Springs area over there. And I think there was nothing announced about it. It was just going to be a bar, I think. And it seems like out of nowhere it became announced that it was going to be sort of not Indiana Jones themed, but
have a tie-in.
Yeah, a tie-in with a rare character like that. That's also, you know, just giving something to Indiana Jones fanboys and folks like me that just enjoy a nice, highly themed place to go eat and relax.
Yeah, and you guys both really enjoyed it, right?
We did.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to go back.
Surprise!
All right, moving on now. This award is always sad, but it's one we must give every year, and that is the Reached Its Expiration Date Award. Now, a little background on this. This is something in the parks that we enjoy, or maybe we don't enjoy, but I think we mostly enjoy. But we just kind of realize that it's run its course, and it's time for it to go in the coming year. And so, Matt, why don't you start with the Reached Its Expiration Date Award?
Yes, Future World. I'm just thinking, although there is much to say there, I will pick one attraction that I like. And there is much to love about it, but it is just past its due date. And that is the due date, past its expiration date. It's past due. And that is Mickey's PhilharMagic in Fantasyland.
No.
Yes. Yes. No. I like I said, I love the music. I love much of the scenery and the stuff that animation bring the film itself. But it's clearly, I mean, it opened in 2004. Mm. It's 11 years old, and the animation is dated. Especially towards the front, it's jittery and shaky and old-looking, and we've just come a long way since then, and they could, even if they didn't shut it down, just update it a lot.
Very blurry. Like, it is such a blur. Like, there's
Well, you have to put the 3D glasses on.
Wait, what?
I can't forgive me the headache.
No, but even with the 3D glasses on, like, you like squint to try and focus. Yeah. Like, it's very
There's
not.
There's one or two little parts in there that always, you know, impress me with the 3D. One is the jewels when Ariel opens her hand and lets out the little stones and the pearls and all. That's always good. And then when Simba is kind of on that pyramid made of the elephants and the alligators and things, that's really the only two times where, like, oh, the 3D really worked there.
All right.
Yeah.
For the record, my answer last year could still be my answer this year. I won't say it in case it's Jeremy's answer. But I have switched, and this year I'm saying Beauty and the Beast, live on stage, has reached its expiration date. I think this has always been true, but especially in light especially in light of the big announcements regarding Hollywood studios. Once those things come, Beauty and the Beast is going to feel ancient, more ancient than it already does. And I think in this time of big transitions happening at that park, you've got to get rid of that before it starts to get just like stinky and sour, because it's already getting stale. You know,
it's already kind of lumpy.
It's coming out like cod's cheese already. We got to do something about it.
Yuck. That just took a totally different turn than I thought it was going to. My answer is one that it really pains me. But in 2015, I kind of got over it. I really did. And that is Illumination's Reflections of Earth. I love the show. I will always love the show. I love the fireworks. I love the music. But I just kind of realized in 2015 that, you know, this show is 15 years old. It's time for something new and fresh to take its place. So I think it's run its course, guys. I really do.
All right.
Yeah. I agree with you on that.
Do you remember what your answers were last year?
No. Do you have them written down?
I don't remember what yours were. I remember I personally said the Main Street Electrical Parade. And I feel like that could be my answer every year until they replace it.
But yeah.
I feel like I said something.
I think you did.
I mean, I felt like I said, I think I might have said the Jingle Bells, the Beauty and the Beast thing.
Okay, well, we're just going to keep preaching it till Disney listens.
So. Definitely. Yeah. Why aren't you listening, Disney? And now it comes to part of the show where we take a moment to reflect on those that we lost throughout 2015. Please welcome Grammy Award-winning artist Sarah McLachlan.
I will remember you.
Sorcerer Mickey's Hat at Hollywood Studios. Tomorrowland Arcade. The Rose Garden in Magic Kingdom. Innoventions West. Match the Species Dung Treats at Disney's Animal Kingdom. The cheese sauce on Walt Disney World's condiment bars. The use of selfie sticks at Walt Disney World. The Bill Cosby bust at Hollywood Studios. The magic of Disney animation. Animation Academy. Mulch, Sweat, and Shears. Downtown Disney. The Duffy Meet and Greet in World Showcase. Captain EO. Captain EO again. The Canadian Lumberjacks. Star Wars Weekends. The Bible says you are gone but not forgotten. We will remember you.
I cried more during that than I did during The Force Awakens. Gosh. Let me collect myself here.
Guys, we lost some good ones this year. We really did.
And we lost some really crappy ones, too. Canadian Lumberjacks, good riddance. But seriously, I hope you found a job somewhere else.
Enjoy waiting tables at Narcoosie. All right, now it's time for the second half of the award show. I hope that you refresh your beverage and enjoyed the time off there. And now we are going to move on to Best Announcement. A lot of good things announced this year coming to Disney Parks. So I'm going to begin because I want to take the answer that everybody has, and that is Star Wars Land was announced this year, and we are all excited about Star Wars Land coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios, as well as Disneyland in California. So in case you missed it, which if you listen to our show, how could you? 14 acres of new Star Wars themed attractions and interactions, and including the Cantina. Two original attractions, including one where you fly the Millennium Falcon. as well as many more exciting experiences to come in store. So there you go.
That is a good announcement, especially for Disney World. For Disneyland, it's a little rockier because of where it's going. But for Hollywood Studios, oh my gosh, it's going to be amazing. So that's a good one. For me, the best announcement this year was actually Soarin' Around the World. And all that entails, there's going to be a new projector. There's going to be a third screen, which hopefully means that queue will not be as torturous as it is right now. And it's a whole new movie. Just seeing the clip of them flying over the Great Wall of China just made me really excited to see the whole world rather than just, you know, California, which is a great state, mind you. But it's just so much more impressive to be soaring around the world. And it's an attraction that has grown kind of stale for a while. So I'm excited to see a whole new world, if you will.
A whole new world.
Or if you won't.
Oh, my.
You're welcome.
A whole new pitch.
Guys, I'm just saying, okay. If I could sing, I would not be on this crummy podcast. I'd be like making
crummy.
It.
Crummy.
We don't need you.
Goodbye.
We need to add the Mad Cheddar's podcast into the In Memoriam because this is when it all fell apart.
For my best announcement, since Jeremy said the Star Wars Land announcement, I'm going to say the other half of the wonderful Hollywood Studios news, and that is the Toy Story Land announcement. And God help us if that's the name of the place, but I think that Toy Story, for Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land, I think that that's a genius move for the end of the park. Now, I would have loved to have seen just a general Pixar area, as we have discussed in the past in our armchair Imagineering segments on the additions to Hollywood Studios. But this is fine. You know, looking at it, it looks like it's going to be a fun place for the kids to go, a little roller coaster, a little spinning ride. Toy Story Midway Mania will be there. I think it's a fine little addition to the back end of the park for Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, it's all right. Definitely does not get me as excited as Star Wars Land.
Well, no. But
I'll take it.
Yeah, it was a little bit underwhelming. I was expecting more other than a Slinky Dog attraction, you know, kind of a thing. But, you know, I'll take it, I guess. If it keeps the children away from me, that's always a good thing.
It looks better than the Toy Story area they have at Disneyland Paris or the studios.
Yeah.
So I'll take it.
Yeah. All right, and now it's time to announce the worst announcement.
Well, let's announce the worst announcement. And for me, that is the fact that this is the last year for the Osborne family spectacle of Dancing Lights. I don't think anyone necessarily went to Walt Disney World to see these lights. I certainly never did. But it's just something that the studios can offer at Christmas time. And after they're gone, I don't really know what draw this park will have. Well, in general, but especially at Christmas time. It was just something kind of cool that no other park could say they had. And after this year, we will not see it again. And I think that was kind of a sad downer of an announcement.
Yep, I agree. And I never was like, you know, like a diehard, like, Osborne family spectacle Dancing Lights fan. But last year, we took Anna, our child daughter to it for, I mean, she was, you know, less than a month old, or maybe a little more than a month old when we went. And then we went again this year with Jeremy. He was with us this year. And so it's kind of like a tradition that you knew was not going to be a tradition. So it was a little sad.
Yeah. A 2-year tradition.
Yeah. Yay.
Probably like the Chatties. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
In Memoriam.
My worst announcement is a little meta because it was the announcement we never got, which is why it's the worst. And that is that Lights Motors Action is still going to be a thing, apparently, for a while. Because they shut down everything back there in that part for the Star Wars expansion. But we still have Lights Motors Action. So I don't understand why.
Yeah. Well, and another on that same line, as far as a non-announcement, is the fact that we didn't get a new name for Hollywood Studios, even though at that press conference, whatever it was, they basically let slip that it's getting a new name, and then it never did.
Yeah, but Bob Iger he doesn't know his rear end from a hole in the ground, so you know, you can't go by what he says.
I think it will get a new name eventually when they finally make the jump with Toy Story Land, Star Wars, and all this other stuff opening.
It'll be Disney's franchise IP experience. Which just rolls off the tongue.
Bring your money.
Yeah. Just like that. All right.
Wait, what is yours, Matt?
Oh, mine was the Spectacle of Dancing Lights well.
Okay, well, there you go.
They will be in the In Memoriam next year, so rest in peace. All right, now here to announce the next category is our very own Steve.
Thank you very much, Jerry. And now it's time for the best change in Walt Disney World.
Oh. Okay, so change means it was not taken away and nothing new necessarily came, but something that we love or have come to unlove has just been changed a little bit. So basically,
I'm just completely confused now. Nothing left and nothing was added, but something was changed.
Basically, I defined the word change by using the word change.
You have nuanced the word so much that I no longer know what it means.
Well, let me give an example by telling you my choice for the best change at Walt Disney World. And that is the restoration of Hollywood Boulevard, which means the hat is gone. And as you look down the street, you now see once again the Chinese Theater or the Great Movie Ride, whichever you want to call it. I think that was an excellent change that some people were up in arms about, but I personally love.
But in this case, something very large has indeed gone away.
That is true. Okay, fine.
So my answer piggybacks off that one, and I was waiting to see what you said. But since you violated your own nuanced definition, I will violate it as well. And that is the changes to the Great Movie Ride, which are subtle, but they freshen it up a little bit. The moving, the animated posters in the waiting area, the updated queue with Dude Mar, what's his face? What's his name doing the narration thing?
Robert
Osborne?
Osborne, there you go. Yeah. He's in the queue now when you're waiting in the actual theater, talking about some of the movies that you'll see and some of the other things in movie history. And then there's a, you know, recorded narration with him that kind of is... let's say it's not replacing completely the live narration, but it's adding to it. So there's not as much from the person doing the live narration, which in my book is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. I forgot that happened this year. Gosh, that feels like forever ago.
It kind of showed up suddenly too. Just like one day it was there.
Yeah, you're right.
My best change at Walt Disney World is the Poly Lobby update. Again, a controversial choice, but I really think it looks better in the long run. I came around to it. It wasn't like the first time I saw it, I fell in love. But the more I see it now, the more it just makes sense. And I love the little tiki statue in there who's shrugging. I like the little lanterns that hang over him. I just like it. It makes me happy. So
to each his own. No, I'm happy with it as well. I think it's a good change.
All right, Steve, now it's time for part B of this award, so take it away.
And now it's time for the worst change at Walt Disney World!
Oh. Okay, I call dibs on first because mine is the opposite of what Jeremy has just said, and that is the worst change at Walt Disney World this year has been... the lobby at the Polynesian Resort.
Wow.
Controversy.
and ensues. And this was honestly my answer.
I believed you.
There are things that I enjoy. I like the new chandelier, the lights with the spheres and the netting and all. That's nice. I think that dipty-doo little fountain they put down there is an insult to the Polynesian Resort.
But he's
to come
so...
in there where they're... I don't care about the Tiki statue. He's neither here nor there for me. It is what It is what he stands on. Quite literally. And that is that stupid little lava rock fountain. I mean, where the, once there was a three-story, some people, I think they've said, I don't know where they get that from, but two-story waterfall. I mean, ginormous rock work, lovely plants, all this stuff around, a little koi pond, a waterfall, wonderful watery smell in the lobby, has been reduced to what, maybe a 6x6 little enclosed. I even hesitate to call it a fountain. It's just, there's water trickling down some plastic-looking Walmart lava rocks with this tiki statue guy on top. And it's like, really? That's all you could do for us? I don't like it.
I think it's a more subtle, modern take on it, is how I feel
about
it.
Not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Once they put him on there, it did improve it for me. But still, that little fountain they put in is just, it doesn't do it for me.
Mm. Controversy all around.
And the kind of the red cushioning they put around some of the support bases to make makeshift benches, it just kind of looks like a dated 80s mall courtyard commons area down there now.
Well, I still think Shrug is adorable, and so I like him.
Okay.
My worst change at Walt Disney World this year involved the Voices of Liberty. I don't remember if this was like a temporary thing or if they still do this, but how they moved them outside to the theater to sing. Do you remember this during the summertime?
Mm-mm.
Like instead of singing in the lobby there of the American Adventure, they were on stage across in the American Theater and they were singing like the Frozen songs and doing that kind of garbage. And I just didn't like it. That's mm-hmm. not the Voice of Liberty that I've known and love. I want like good Americana singing. Give me some Rocky Top, some Come From Alabama with a Banjo on My Knee, Shenandoah. I mean, come on. We don't stop trying to make Voice of Liberty cool. Mm-hmm. They're not cool, and that's what makes them cool.
Nice.
So keep them where they belong.
Okay. I hadn't thought about that, but
I'm mad as hell, and I ain't going to take it anymore.
Yeah. For my award, I'm presenting it to the price changes for the annual passes and tickets and those sorts of things.
Good call.
This was not a good change for this year, but especially for what the next few years will bring. This was not a good sign of things to come. They skyrocketed overnight. So much so that I thought about buying an annual pass, and then the very next morning, I said, I'm not buying an annual pass. That's crazy. I can't pay that much.
Hey, maybe this is Disney giving me my Christmas present of thinning out the crowds, except I want you to come, obviously.
So keep everybody out except my friend Derek. That's yes, what I'm trying
you,
to say.
Thank you.
He can come. No, he can come. He's got different pricing.
Anyway, we talked about it a lot that week on the show when those prices went up and how it seems like they're trying to reduce crowds by saying it's just getting crazy and we need to do something about it. And their answer was to raise prices. And it's just, it's not a good change. My wallet says it's not a good change. Mm. But I mean, I know it's a business. We've already talked about all of this, but whew, it's getting steep.
Totally. Totally.
Totally, dude.
Here to present the best foreign Disney moment is actor and acclaimed musician and karate expert Jackie Chan. No, we can't do that. But best foreign Disney moment. So, Derek, why don't you go ahead with your best foreign Disney moment?
Okay, foreign meaning not Walt Disney World. I feel like this really does need a definition other, unlike the word change, which I tried to define unnecessarily. But best foreign Disney moment means it's not at Walt Disney World. It's somewhere else within the Walt Disney Company. And for me, I'm going to head over to Disneyland and say the best Disney moment was when they added the Hatbox Ghost. It kind of goes back to what we talked about with like the Three Caballeros and Hocus Pocus. These were things that fans had talked about for so long and had asked about for so long. And I think this was kind of Disney's way of responding to them and saying, all right, you know, you talked about it. We teased it and here it is. And they brought it back, something that had only been there for a couple months back in 1960 something. And here it is in all of its glory, just like we knew it was all those years ago. And having seen it in person, it's wonderful. It looks so great. And I think this is going to be there to stay, which is just kind of cool. That piece of history being brought back after all of these years.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things. The average everyday guest, it's only going to enhance their experience. They don't care about it, but they enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Disney fanboy will freak out over it. Mm-hmm. So it's the best of both worlds.
Totally.
Yeah. Derek, I have to say I'm enjoying the definitions tonight. And now foreign means anywhere outside of Florida.
Right. Well,
it's
kind of going with the idea of, like, you know, there's always the foreign category at the Oscars or whatever.
Yes.
We have to give love to people in the Disney company who are not involved with Walt Disney World.
Right. Well, mine is actually foreign, and that is that it's coming to us. Can I just, Jeremy, why don't you go first?
Well, mine is foreign as well, because I took it very literally. And so for me, the best foreign moment was the announcement and the concept art of the Roaring Rapids attraction at Shanghai Disneyland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when I saw that concept art with that dinosaur, crocodile, hybrid, whatever that thing is, that like leans out over your boat as you go by, I got really excited about that because it looks amazing and creepy and scary all at the same time. And so I hope that exactly what the concept art shows is exactly what's there.
At least for a year before they go to Disco Croc mode.
Yeah. No, but that thing is terrifying.
I agree. And my answer coincides with Jeremy's, because I was just going to say all of the Shanghai Disney announcements that I've seen this year, from Pirates of the Caribbean and Adventure Cove. What's it being called? Treasure Cove? Pirate Cove?
Adventure Isle, Treasure Cove, yeah.
Yeah, and the Tron light cycle roller coasters and the big castle. I mean, it looks like the Disney Dream Park. Like, you got on Roller Coaster Tycoon and downloaded every trainer you could.
Yeah.
In sandbox mode and cheated the system on everything and just built everything
big
and wonderful.
It is a Disney park on steroids. It's crazy.
Indeed. And lots of original properties and original ideas for what's going on there, too. I mean, they're doing their fair share of franchises, too, but stuff like the Roaring Rapids and their ideas for the castle and the ride that's going underneath the castle, the water ride, all that looks spectacular.
Mm. Well, on that note, I think we want to round out the show by saying 2015 was a good year.
Mm.
It had its ups, it had its downs, but it was a good year. And we look forward to 2016. And so let's close out the year on a personal note. Let's all lift our champagne glasses and reflect on our own personal highlights in the Disney world of 2015. Derek, do you have a personal moment that you would like to share?
I do. And I think it's pretty obvious because it was just one of those experiences that you'll never forget because it may never happen again. But that was when you, Jeremy, and I went to Club 33 and dined there for lunch. Just one of those moments where it was all blur, and yet I remember every single thing we talked about, every single thing we did, just because I didn't want to forget any of it, and I was just like treasuring it. Like, I don't want to leave, it can't be time yet. But just such a cool moment of such a piece of history with Walt Disney himself and with the Walt Disney Company and at Disneyland, the original Disney park, and just being able to experience it all and eat some incredible food is something that I will forever remember 2015 for.
It hurts me a little, but I'm glad you all got to experience
it. It hurt us too.
No, okay. It really didn't, but okay.
No, it did. I mean, for real. Once I found out that might be a possibility, I never stopped thinking, oh my gosh, Matt is not going to be able to do this.
Well, mine piggybacks off of Derek's answer because 2015 was the year that we went to Disneyland again. And probably the moment that stands out to me, and I'm going to try not to be emotional about this because I really am, but when we were there and it was Saturday night and it was the night before we left and we were watching the parade and the whole, you know, theme of the parade is when can we do this again? And it just made me so happy and yet at the same time so, like, emotional because you realize your trip is coming to an end. And so when can we do this again really was, like, what was flashing through my mind. Mm-hmm. And when I think about that trip to Disneyland, that's like the stellar moment. Just you, me, and our friend Jill there sitting on the curb enjoying that parade and just kind of decompressing the whole trip at that time while still enjoying the parade. It was really a magical moment. And so I will treasure that.
And the man with his lit up scooter was there too.
And the man with the scooter was like icing yeah. on the cake.
Yeah. When can we do this again?
Mine happened just last week, actually, and I've had lots of wonderful memories from Walt Disney World this year. But last Monday, Jessica and I took our daughter Anna to the Magic Kingdom, and the last time we were there was in July, I think, together. And Anna's getting to she was already responding to things and stuff, but now she, you know, loves Mickey Mouse, loves seeing him on TV. Anytime he's on anything, she's pointing, and we think she says Mickey, but it starts with a B, so we don't know if she's saying peekaboo or peeky or something. That's her sound, but we like to think it's Mickey. And so we didn't actually do the fast pass. We just showed up, and the first thing we did at the Magic Kingdom was go to the Mickey Mouse meet and greet at Town Square, and waited for about 30 minutes to see Mickey. And as soon as we entered into the room where you actually meet him and you can see him, you know, other people were meeting and greeting in front of us, but she was looking around the corner, staring at Mickey. And then, of course, when we got up there, she was smiling and playing. Well, she kind of does this thing where when she sees someone, you know, she gets shy and embarrassed and turns to Jessica and, like, tries to root up, you know, get away from him. But she was smiling the whole time. And it was just a magical, wonderful Mickey experience with her. And we know that's only going to keep on going as she grows up.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to see that. Well, cool. I'm so glad you all shared that with us. And I'm so glad that we were able to reflect on this year. Because, like we said, it's been a good one, I think, overall. Lots of huge announcements for the years to come. So I can't wait to see what the next years have in store for us.
I look forward to the next 52 shows.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Stay tuned. Speaking of, if you do enjoy our show, you would help us a lot if you went to iTunes, if you haven't done so already, and reviewed us. We always appreciate getting those reviews, and we always appreciate hearing from you, too. So send your emails to comments@madchatters.net, or just say hello over on Twitter or on Facebook, and we'll shout out at you over there. But I think that's it. So it's been a great year. Thanks for listening. We will see you in 2016.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Vaya con Dios.